it. Let's just see what the Lord has for us today. Brandon and Galen and Gage and Andrew, they'll be headed back home in the morning, so that's a good thing. Brandon did tell me they didn't make it all the way up to the top. Galen and Gage and Brandon, I think, made it to the tree line of the mountain. That's a pretty good ways up. And then Andrew went a little bit further, but it was too hard. But they had good intentions. How's that? It was a new mountain they were climbing. So anyway, we'll hear the rest of that story when we can. How's that? Brother Danny Plowman made it home from his trip. We're excited to hear what all the Lord has done for him on his trip to South America. That was a beautiful thing. God orchestrated all of that. He was telling us all about that, and so we want to hear from him real soon in what the Lord has done. But let's see what God has for us today. Amen? I'm ready, and we're taking our story from Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, beginning with the 21st verse. But after a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." Verse 23. "For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island." And for the sake of time, let's just skip down to the next chapter, chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. "Now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called," one translation says Melita, one says Malta. "And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold." Verse 3, "But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live.' But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." Well, can I just tell you something this morning? It doesn't matter what it is that attaches to our lives. We have the power to shake it off. And that's the title of my message, Shake It Off. I want to talk to us for just a little while this morning again concerning the storms that come suddenly out of nowhere into our lives. Last week we talked about the storms, talked about the foundation. And I know that some people will say, "Well, Pastor, I'm not in a storm." And my response to that would be, "Well, praise God, you're one of a kind." Because most people today are in some kind of a storm. Those who are not in the storm just came out. And if you did not just come out, then you need to be ready. And I say that because our lives are filled with storms. If not contrary winds that will blow, but we do not have to be defeated by those things. Amen? we have the power to make it through to the other side and come out victorious. No matter what comes our way. Right now in Texas, we are in a very hot, dry spell. And guess what? It's not climate change. It's Texas, and it's August, and it's normally hot at this time of the year. But as we get closer to the fall, we know the weather can change in a heartbeat here in Texas. We've had snow flurries in the morning, hailstones at noontime, and then the sun is out and we're sweating by the end of the day. And that's just the way it goes. For me, I'm about ready for one of those Texas gully washers, okay? We have all experienced it. We can be watching our favorite program, and we hear a beep, 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 and sound interrupts right in that good part of our program, and we see the word scroll across the screen, letting us know that there is a severe thunderstorm warning for various counties. And you know to get ready then, because a storm is coming our way. You never know what the severity then of the storm will be, because what starts out to just be an afternoon shower can develop, we know, into a full-fledged thunderstorm, even with tornadoes. Storms are disruptions in the atmosphere. And you will find then that there are those disturbances that come into the quiet atmosphere of our lives. Everything may be going well, and you go to work only to find out that they're getting ready to either shut the plant down or have massive layoffs. Or something that once it is done, it's going to create that uncertainty as it relates to your economic status. And so storms come, whether they are financial, whether they are storms in our health, storms in our domestic relationships, storms in our employment, and yes, even storms in the church. I'm excited to know if the Lord tarries, come March of next year, New Life Ministries will have been in existence for 30 years. That's pretty exciting, I'm telling you. And yet, I'll be honest and say, I don't believe any pastor can say it and be truthful that they have pastored a church for any length of time and have never had any storms. We've had our share of storms, but there not has been a storm strong enough to tear things apart. Because, and I'll say it boldly, because the roots of this ministry has gone deep, because one, of prayer and of teaching of God's Word and His strength for us to be able to keep standing. And sure, we have lost leaves through the seasons of change, and through various storms, we've lost some limbs. But with the roots deep, the tree may bend in the storm. Yet when the wind gets through blowing, that tree always stands back up. And I'm here to remind us, we are going to have storms in our lives. We're going to have contrary winds that blow in our lives. And that's why you need some roots then that go down deep beneath just the emotions of the moment. We know prayer and fasting and the reading of God's Word on a regular basis and being taught the uncompromised truth of that Word and the obedience to that Word causes the roots to go down deep enough that when the storm comes, you may have a few leaves that fall off, but that tree will not be destroyed. In our story this morning, the Apostle Paul is a prisoner on board this ship. And he is on his way to Rome because he has appealed his case to Caesar. And when you read this story, you find he tried to reason with the military officer in charge, Julius the centurion. And he also tries to reason with the captain of the ship to not leave where they were at, but to stay through the winter time there. But they said, well, this preacher doesn't know anything about sailing. And yes, after years of pastoring, I personally know that's the general attitude of when the preacher starts touching on different areas of people's lives. Okay, pastor, stick to the preaching and stop meddling. But you have to understand, when you boldly preach the uncompromised truth of God's Word, you're going to get in everybody's business at some time or the other. If God's Word is truthfully spoken without fear and without hesitation, it's going to eventually push somebody's button. And many times it can be that hot button issue, if you please. Now, I can't answer for you, but I want the Holy Spirit to press my buttons. And if that doesn't help, then yank me by my shirt collar, if need be, and get my attention when I'm off track. Paul was such a man that although he was not a member of the crew, he was really a prisoner on that ship, but when God spoke to him, he had no problem speaking then to the military officer and the captain or anybody else that would listen. So once they released then from this port of call and began sailing against Paul's advice, the next thing is that they find themselves in that storm. If you look at chapter 27, verse 14, it says, "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called a Euroclydon." So we see then the ship got caught in the midst of the storm, and so unsteady was the vessel, reeling and rocking from the wind and from the waves, that those on board were not even able to steady their plates and their food long enough to eat it. It says in verse 19, "The third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship, trying to lighten the load and trying to make the ship more manageable." Verse 20 says, "When neither sun or stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." Can I just tell you this morning, it may just be somebody today under the sound of my voice. You're in turmoil. You found yourself constantly in a state of agitation, and it seems any little thing will set you off. And now you've been in it so long until you've just about abandoned hope of things changing. Yet I want to tell you, God has a word for you today. Verse 21 of chapter 27 says this, "But after long abstinence, not able to eat their food," is what it meant, "Paul stood forth in the midst of them." They couldn't hold anything down because of their motion sickness. And I think that's what happens to a lot of folks when they come to church and the Word of God is being preached, but they still cannot eat. They can't receive the meat of the Word because of their own motion sickness. Meaning the stuff that they are dealing with, the stuff that they're going through that has now got them all messed up. Yet the preacher here, is trying to serve a meal out of the Word of God, trying to give something to settle their spirit. But you're so caught up in what you're in, and you're listening to those so-called friends who are telling you that prayer won't help in this situation. And it ain't, pardon my French, it ain't time to pray, they say. But you need to hear me closely. Quit listening to those kinds of friends. Quit listening to those kinds of voices. You got to know this. It's always, always time to pray. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You need to take the time. Or let me just say it this way. You better make the time to have a little talk with Jesus. He's waiting to hear from you. Did you hear that? He's waiting to hear from you. To tell him. Even though he knows everything going on, he wants you to tell him what you're dealing with. And that way he can tell you how your problem can be solved. And I promise you, he'll give you the answer. Paul took the position that it doesn't matter how bad this storm is. If I can get in touch with God, if I can get a word from God that will help everybody ride out this storm. And so after a long abstinence, again, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have listened to me and not loosed from Crete. And that then you would have not gained all of this harm and this loss." Now, let me give you God's word, he says. And we see in verse 22, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." Did you hear what he just told them? What a word to give somebody in the midst of a storm. You're telling me to be of good cheer and the tornado's coming through my life about right now. I want to tell somebody this morning, you may be caught in that storm. Your marriage may look like it's about to break up, but I want to tell you, be of good cheer. Your job may look like it's about to come to an end, but God's word is to be of good cheer. He already knows everything about your life. He knows what's going on. You may have visited the doctor this last week, and you heard some discouraging things concerning your health. But whatever storm you are caught in, I want you to know right now, God would have you be of good cheer. Well, Pastor, what does that mean? What does be of good cheer mean? Here it is. It means to keep your joy, stay encouraged, and keep your spirit right no matter what. And just know that God then is faithful to do his part. If you will keep your joy, stay encouraged, and keep your spirit right. Listen, he'll take care of the rest. You may have some pains in your body. You may be going through your storm, the storm in your relationship. You may be going through that storm on your job, an economic storm. But whatever storm you're going through, I'm here to tell you, first of all, break up any pity party. Oh, woe is me. Oh, you just don't know. No. That's not the key to getting to the other side. Paul told those on the ship to be of good cheer. Why is that? "For there shall be no loss of any man's life that is among you." Now that ought to encourage you. What you're going through is not going to kill you. What you're going through, you will not die from it. You may be in the greatest storm of your life, but you're not going to be swept away. Because God is with you. And Paul adds this, "Though there will be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." Now, he's saying that the ship, you're not going to be able to save it. The thing that you're sailing in, it's going to tear up. But you're going to still survive. So what is the ship? The ship is the vessel that is being used to carry them from where they are to another point. They were hopeful that they were going to sail in it all the way to Rome. But they're not going to be able to make that journey because the ship is going to be broken up. But although the ship breaks up, the Lord is saying, you are still going to be saved. Some folks today may be worrying because you've been hearing about the place where you're working that job may close. You thought that was the vehicle, listen now, that was going to carry you to the peak of economic success. Listen, we're in such a place in our nation where companies are closing because of government regulations and, yes, woke policies. The very companies that you thought would be your nest egg to help you to get to your retirement, we here have closed or in the process of closing. Many have moved their factories then to another country for cheaper labor and less taxes. So Paul is saying, the thing that you're depending on, it may just get torn up, but you're still going to make it to your destination. The ship is going to reel and it's going to rock, and the ship might even be broken into pieces. But the word of God is, you will not die, you will not lose your life. Listen, whatever is happening in the storms around you, it may tear up the vessel that you're in, but you're going to make it. Don't worry about the vessel. God can build another vessel. He can provide the resources that you're needing. God can put you in another vessel to get you where He wants you to be. Let Him lead you. That's the word you need to hear. He knows what's best for our lives. The thing to also understand is, you shall not have harm. And then what does he say? Paul, how do you know this man that told you these things? What you're saying is deep, and it's kind of way out there, Paul. We're in the midst of a storm, and you're going to tell me that the storm is going to tear up this ship, but it's not going to hurt me? Paul, how do you know that? And Paul responds, he said, for the angel of God stood by me this night. I got a message from the Lord. The God who I belong to and to whom I serve. Understand with me this morning, we have to be careful that we are listening to the right voices. Because the wrong angel may give you another message. Satan's got his own angels out there. But you've got to know, I don't listen to their messages. Because when I hear their message, I know where it comes from. Because it's always their message is never good, it's never positive, it's always full of fear and doom and destruction, and that leads to depression and eventually despondency. And then to death. But the angel of the Lord will always bring a message straight from the throne room of Almighty God. And this morning, the message I get from on high, from Him, is God wants you to live. Understand, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. He said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He knows exactly where you are and what wind is blowing around you. Don't worry about the ship being broken up. Don't worry about the vehicle you thought would take you to that destination, economically or financially or health-wise. Understand, as a child of God, if one door closes, what's going to happen? He will open another door. Paul said, I want you to know I got a message from heaven, and that message says that you're going to make the journey. Therefore, be of good cheer. He said, I believe God. That's it. That it's going to be just like I was told. And then he goes on to say, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. Well, Paul, I really don't understand all of the ramifications of this. You said we're going to survive. The ship's going to be tore up. But in the midst of all of it all, we're going to now to be cast on some island. And I don't know where that island is located. I don't know who the inhabitants of that island are. But somewhere in our future, apparently, there is that island. And when you read this story, you find that after a while, when the mariners saw that they were getting close to the land, and they sounded the alarm that would let them know how deep the water was. First, it was 20 furlongs, then it was 15, and then they saw they were getting close to the land. So they started to let down, these mariners started to let down the lifeboats. And no one knew what they were doing except Paul. Paul knew that these mariners were letting down the lifeboat so they could escape in the night and leave everybody else, that being the prisoners and the soldiers who were guarding them, they would leave them on the ship. But Paul tells the Roman officer in charge, in other words, don't let the mariners escape. They're the ones that know how to handle the ship. And if you let the folks who know how to handle the ship get off the ship, then nobody is going to be saved. So Julius, the military officer, what did he do? He had them cut the ropes, and it says the lifeboats went adrift, letting them know you can't get out of here. You have to ride out the storm. There's no easy way out of the storm. You got to go through it. And so they got a little further, and they landed the ship, but it got hung up on the rocks. And one end of it was seemingly was saved, but the waves dashing against the back end of the ship tore the ship in pieces. And Paul hears the soldiers saying, well, let's just go ahead. Why don't we just kill the prisoners before they escape? But again, the military officer who didn't want Paul to be killed said, no, don't kill them. Let everybody grab a piece of a board and catch hold to a piece of the ship. And those who can swim, then let them swim. But if you can't swim, you grab hold on something to float on. This morning, I want you to know again, sometimes it may certainly look like your life is being torn apart, but you have to know how to grab hold of something that will float. Here goes. Simply meaning, if all you know to do at the moment is to make it here on a Sunday morning, to be able to worship with your church family, and hear the word go forth, and I'm telling you, you just need to do that. If it's just on a Wednesday night that you can make it, then do it. If it's only able to attend a home Bible study or watch online, then do it. Grabbing hold to one of those, listen, will make you make it to the land. And if it's only you and Jesus, guess what? That's a good thing. Then you talk to Him, and I promise He will help you make it to the land. When they got to the island, they didn't even know the name of it at first. They later found out it was called Malta, and when they got there, they were cold from the water, cold from the wind blowing, cold from being exposed to the elements. And in chapter 28, in the New King James Version, it says, the barbarous people, meaning those folks on that island that were rough and they were harsh and they spoke a language that no one, that they didn't understand, and they didn't know these folks. It says they showed Paul and the others from the ship unusual kindness. They said, we'll build a fire for you. And Paul began to gather the sticks, and as he did, a snake jumped out of the woodpile and caught hold onto his hand, and it bit him on the hand. And those that lived on the island knew how detrimental then a bite from one of those serpents could be, because usually, in a matter of moments, the person would swell up and fall down dead. And they already said that here he must have been a vicious man. He escaped from the sea, but now the snake has bitten him. So let's just watch, because in a minute he's going to fall dead. Yet, guess what happened? Paul didn't fall down dead, but what he did do was just shake it off. He shook it off in the fire. This morning, I want you to know, when you live for God, there will be those folks that's always saying, well, this is just going to kill them. You might as get ready and do other things to get ready, because they're going to die. They're not going to go on any further. It's over. It's futile. So while the enemy is waiting then to see you fall, the thing that was designed to kill you and me, listen now, God gave us and makes it available to us, and that is a spirit of power called the Holy Ghost and fire, thereby giving us the ability to just shake things off of us that was meant to do us harm. This morning, let me just ask, what is it that the enemy is trying to destroy you with and destroy your family with? What is it that just keeps coming back wanting to tear you down? What is it that the devil released from hell that has been trying to destroy you with it for some time? Hear me now. With Jesus dwelling on the inside of you, you have to make the decision, come hell or high water, I'm going to shake this thing off of me that has attached itself to my mind. I'm going to deal with it one way or the other. It's not going to keep harassing my mind and keep me down thinking that everything is futile. Can you just tell someone, I don't know what you're going to do, but I made it through the storm. And I'm not about to let some snake kill me now. Shake it off. Amen. Can you determine today that you're leaving here with a made up mind? That I got a word from the Lord concerning my storm. Let the wind blow. Let the lightning flash, Sister Louise. Let the thunder roll. Because when it's all over, I will have made it through to the other side. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'm going to the other side. Now I want you to listen to me. Listen to this short, fat, old, bald-headed preacher. Amen. I left the word ugly out, okay? I didn't say ugly. When I think about how many storms he's already brought me through, if I made it through the storms of yesterday, what difference is one more storm going to make in my life? I don't have to run to the mountains and hide. I don't have to fear what's ahead of me. I know in whom I trust is what David said. And for me, myself, and I, all three of us, I know in whom I trust and who holds my hand. Amen. Now, here is the essence of this whole message. I've come to tell you this morning that to successfully navigate the days to come, we have got to make sure our dependence is on Christ Jesus alone. Hear me closely. Earthly things that you think will take you through, you will find those things will break apart and will not save you. We need to hang on to God and His Word. It's imperative then that we seek the Holy Spirit of God every day and ask for His wisdom and His guidance, thanking Him for favor and strength to stand and occupy until Jesus returns for His bride. And above all else, make sure your heart is clean and pure before Him. I didn't say perfect because none of us are perfect. He works through imperfect vessels. But our heart needs to be clean, that there's no hidden motives in the things that we do. I want to end with the reading of the last part of Psalm 91. That tells us what God will do for those who put their trust in Him. Here's what it says. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague, that includes any disease, come near your dwelling. Now, I need you to listen to me. They already are telling us that the monkeypox is the next big deadly virus to come for us. But you got to remember, every 4 years, it's an election year for a new president. So that's when the virus has come. Now, you've got to know, they have planned this a long time ago. And I read this week where a company in Belgium has already produced 100 million vials of vaccine for the monkeypox virus. And so now they're ready to put that on us to make their billions in profit. Now, let me just ask, how did they know that that monkeypox was coming? You've got to know it was no accident. They planned it a long time ago. Don't you dare fall into that trap again of fearing a man-made virus and accept everything that they want to give us coming down the pike. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the crow and the cobra. There's the snake. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Remember, Satan is under our feet. And the Lord says this, because he, talking about you and I, because we have set our love upon him, therefore I will deliver him. He will deliver us. He will set us on high because we have known his name. He shall call upon me and I will answer and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now here is the crux of the matter. Either we believe God's word or we don't. One or the other. Either you believe Psalm 91 or you don't. And you go looking for everything that they're pushing out there. And take that as your ship. We better stand on God's word. How then can we not surrender our lives totally to Jesus and make him our Lord and our Savior and trust him with our lives? Again, no matter what it is that comes and attaches itself to your life, to your mind, whether it's fear or doubt or lies that tell you, that it's not going to happen. What you think is going to happen is not going to happen. You might as well just give it up. Those fears of past failures that are haunting you. You've got to make up your mind to shake those things off. Would you just say that with me? Shake it off. Stand your ground in what you believe. Make your voice known, because guess what? They're going to tell you like they think. You're going to hear it from the opposition. We better stand up. God will take care of us, his people. He will take care of his children. Yet you have to stay tuned into what he is saying and then be obedient to his word. Just don't read it and not be obedient. Stay in tune to what he's telling you. Be obedient to that word, and guess what? You're going to make it to the other side. We will be victorious because we are on the winning side. And just like you said, Sister Brenda, his word never fails. His word never fails. Let's all stand together. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Oh, we praise you today. Lord, I thank you today for your word. Once again, Lord, help us to take this word, put it into our heart. Let it not be stolen, God. But let us look to you, Lord, in every part of our lives. Lord, we acknowledge today that you are our source, but you bring those resources that we need to help with our lives. So I thank you for that today. Lord, I thank you for this body of people. You see everything going on in our lives. You see what's happening in each family, Lord. You see the lies, Lord, the things that people tell us, Lord. But God, we're not going to listen to the lies. Lord, we thank you that we can discern and not be deceived by the lies of the enemy. So I thank you today. I thank you that you promised life to us, that we will live and not die, but we will live to complete the purposes and plans that you have for us and carry it out in our lives before you come. I thank you today. Be with us today as we go from this house, not from your presence, but from this house. Bring us back again Wednesday night. We thank you. Lord, just continue to speak to us. Direct our steps. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.